Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the epistle lesson. We'll start out in verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is the text, and you know, you start trying to read that and figure out where are you going to stop, and the text just keeps on rolling because it's about Jesus. It is about him. It is all about him, and that is what the Christian church has been saying for 2,000 years. It's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus, and I have to share with you an experience I had about 6 years ago. Happened to be down in New Orleans at the National Youth Gathering. Those things happen with about 25,000 young people from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod gathered together. And down there, they were doing these evening services, which started out with playing music. And the kids would sing, and the musicians would lead the singing, and it got loud. How loud did it get, you ask? It got loud. It got so loud that our group carried with it a bag of earplugs, pass it down the row, and I had my earplugs in, and it was loud even then, and the seats were shaking and everything else. And then it came time for the worship service. The worship service started in, and then the preacher got up to preach, and he started out by saying this. He said, "It's not about you." And the crowd went nuts applauding him. The kids were cheering and clapping when he said, "It's not about you." And he continued on. "It's not about your feelings." And they applauded. "It's not about what you want." They applauded. "It's not about your desires. It's not about your feelings. It's not about you." And here's my surprise. He says, "It's not about you." And they could have responded with a little bit of applause, or they could have waited to see what he was going to talk about and where he was going with that, but the reaction was immediate. Right away, "It's not about you." And you know, his message was, it is about Jesus, and it is about Jesus because everything is about Jesus. It's what our text says today. He's the firstborn of creation. He's the firstborn from the dead. And in him all things hold together. He is the one who forgives sins. He is the one who conquers death. He is the one who gives us heaven. He is the one who gives us life. He is everything to us. He is the one who hears and answers our prayers. And he is the one, when we get together for church, it's about Jesus. I thought about that for quite a while after seeing it happen, and ask myself, why that immediate reaction? Why? Here's some of my thoughts. First off, if we make our lives about ourselves, that falls short. We can make our existence and our days about ourselves, and that might work fine until something goes wrong, or it might work fine as long as we have strength and breath, and then Well, they say it starts with the knees, and they start giving out, and then you realize that you're limited and things are going to come to an end, and if you've made it all about you and it's coming to an end, what then? It is an existence that ends in absolute and utter futility and loss if it's all about you. Around the world, we see places where the leaders of a nation have made it all about them, and those nations suffer. We see places where a whole culture makes it, well, it's all about me, 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 me. And if a nation goes in that direction, the nation can fall apart and everything fail. And we are told, and this is a bit of wisdom that even the world knows, it has to be about something bigger than you. Catch the dream, catch the vision, live for a purpose, and so on and so on and so on it goes. But then we come at this as Christians and realize that the biggest thing your life can possibly be about is about Jesus and the kingdom of God and the will of God and God's good and gracious will of salvation and giving grace and forgiveness and life and salvation to us. That's what it's about. It is about Jesus. Jesus the Savior who died and rose for us. Jesus the Savior who shed his blood to wash away our sins. Jesus the Savior who calls us his own, claims us as his. That's what it's about. But then there's a little bit more here, because I'm sitting there realizing these are young people. And in our culture, how often do the young people hear, well, it's about you? We've got a culture that says that and says it quite clearly to our youth. Oh, and by the way, we're getting on to Christmas season here, and have you watched the commercials? Just giving you a few seconds to have some of those run through your mind that will tell you it is all about you. And out of a background of it's all about you, it's all about you, and it's all about you, these were 25,000 young people who had heard that until they were stuffed full of it. And now someone was telling them something different. And you know how empty it can be, life, when it's all about you? Scratch below the surface. Go through a culture and among people who have heard that umpteen times. And you find out that they're really hungry for something that is not all about them. It's all about Jesus. He's the Savior. Not only is he the Savior, he is the Lord. Not only is he the Lord, he is the one who gets to set the entire theme for all of eternity on from this point. He gets to do that. Because the kingdom of God will be a reflection of the person Jesus. And to be let loose from this, having to make it all about you and make your way through life and find your fulfillment in it's all about me, to be let loose from that and to hear that it really is about Jesus and it is about eternity and it is about your relationship with God and your soul matters to God. What an amazing message. And no wonder they responded the way that they did. So that's part one. Part two, then, was the reflections that I had months and months after. And where we are called to walk in faith, to be Christians, to have our lives be about Jesus, then I started asking a question that turned that all around. And the question I asked was, okay, if my life is to be about Jesus, what was his life all about? When he was born into this world and grew up and went around preaching and teaching and healing the sick, raising the dead, eating with sinners and hanging out with sinners as if there was anybody else he could hang out with, and touching the lepers, who did he make it all about? Paul says that Jesus, who existed in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, made himself nothing. Being found in likeness as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Who'd he make? The life of Jesus was about you. That was his will. That was his plan from before the world began, that he was going to make his life, his effort, all of his work, that he was going to make it about you. Why? We're sinners. And we're self-centered sinners. But he was going to come into this world and bring his gospel, his life, his spirit. And inside of us, he was going to work, planting his word deep in our hearts, giving the words of the scripture, which is means of grace stuff, the word of God changes us. He was going to do all of this to take us, turn us around, to make us his, to recreate us in his own image so that we could live forever, so that we could be with him, so that in all the days of eternity, it would not be God by himself with all of his glory or God with the angels singing and praising him, but human beings, us, more than anyone could count, that vast multitude gathered on the day of Jesus' return, and to be with him forever. That was his plan. And so he became obedient unto death, even death on a cross, because that was the price of earning and winning and buying us back from where we'd gone off to make us his own. Then how's Paul continue with this? Therefore, God has exalted him to the highest place and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven, under earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That this act of love by Jesus Christ would be the one thing that is planted there as the foundation, as the heart and the core and the everything that runs through all of eternity, the one thing that would be in our hearts to change and transform us, the message from God, the act of God giving salvation. And this is what Jesus did. And is there any other name that should be the name that is above every name than the name of Jesus? Do you read what Paul was saying about him? He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. So you are purchased by Jesus Christ. You are made his own and given a different future than you would have if it was about you. And because it really is all about Jesus, all the years of eternity begin unfolding in front of you, and an endless being with God. What an amazing thing. And what else are we supposed to do then? To worship, right? So let's continue by worshiping.